So our next presentation is with Dr. Deborah Murphy, who is at the University of California, Los Angeles, just a hop, skip, and a train right away. She's been doing family and HIV work for 18 years now, so a bit of an expert. She's going to talk to us today a little bit about family routines and protective fact.
I'd like to thank my research team, especially the statistician who works with me, Bill Merilich, and NIMH for funding this grant. And I have no financial relationships to disclose as required by APHA. Okay, we know there is some indication that parental illness affects parenting behaviors, although believe it or not, there haven't actually been many studies on it. Often the studies look at parental illness and child outcomes and skip over what the mediating factors are that are maybe causing problematic child outcomes. There, specific to HIV, there was one very well done study done in 1999 that found a linear increase between child problem behaviors starting with maternal HIV symptomatic stage straight through full-blown AIDS. So, In general population studies, not among families affected by HIV, parenting skills such as family routines and parental monitoring have been found in some studies to be protective factors for children. Family routines are defined as interactions that have some continuity, eating dinner together on a regular basis, having a family playtime during the week, set aside things like that. And they're talked about anecdotally in the literature as being critical to children's feelings of security because there's predictability in the kid's life. But again, although the term has been used for almost 50 years in the literature, there are actually very few studies on the impact of family routines on adolescent outcomes. And there aren't a lot of family routine measures out there either. Thankfully, Peter Jensen did one once upon a time, so we used his. On the other hand, parental monitoring has been studied in numerous populations across numerous age children. It's also considered an essential parenting skill and to be especially critical during early and middle adolescence. And it's been linked particularly to higher levels of parental monitoring have been linked to lower levels of conduct disorder among adolescents and substance use and to better academic functioning. The study I'm going to talk about today is started off as the Parents and Children Coping Together Study, PACT. It was a longitudinal assessment of 135 mothers and their 135 well children. The moms at the time we recruited them into the study had to be HIV symptomatic or have full-blown AIDS. The children were 6 to 11 at the time we began the study. It was a very successful study, and we were funded for another 5 years to continue to follow the children as they transitioned to early and middle adolescence. In both of the studies, PACT 1 and PACT 2, we assessed the mothers and kids every 6 months over a 36-month period. So the data today is from PACT 2, longitudinally over 36 months. At the start of PACT 2, the kids were a mean age of 13. And as you can see, we're in Los Angeles, so the majority of our mom population is Latina, and then African American. That makes up almost all of our study cohort. And we used individual growth models for the longitudinal analyses with age, family routines, and parental monitoring used as covariates to predict the outcome variables. All the covariates are time-varying except for the stability analysis, which I'll talk about in a minute. And what we found when we put in family routines as the covariate in the conditional growth models is that as family routines increase, there are significant declines in child aggressive behavior, anxiety, depression, conduct disorder, and heavy drinking. It didn't affect just your day-to-day typical drinking, but it affected binge drinking. And as family routines increased, there were significant increases in child self-concept. We used the Pierce-Harris, and for family routines, every one of the subscales, intellectual popularity, happiness, and physical appearance, were all increased the higher level of family routines that a family experienced. And this is just a projected trajectory to show you the difference between a low-routine family and a high-routine family on the binge drinking. As you can see, families with high levels of family routines have kids that are pretty much not binge drinking at all, versus families with low family routines over age, and the age of the child is shown at the bottom, the binge drinking is increasing among those kids as they developmentally age. Then we added family routines and parental monitoring as covariates to the conditional growth model. So here we're looking specifically at parental monitoring. And as parental monitoring increases, there were significant declines in child anxiety, depression, conduct disorder, and again, binge drinking. And as parental monitoring increased, there were significant increases in only one of the self-concept subscales, the intellectual and school status subscale of the Pierce-Harris. So, okay, that may be similar to general population samples, and what we wanted to do here was look at, since this is a sample of mothers with HIV who have well children, is the maternal health influencing these variables? So we looked at parental maternal health in conjunction with family routines and parental monitoring, and just for example, as we expected, maternal health is associated with the mom's ability to carry out these parenting skills. When they have a decreased bodily pain and increased physical functioning, so better sense of well-being, they are able to have increased family routines in the family. So this ties family routines and parental monitoring directly to mom's physical health functioning. I was also interested because I'd never seen it explored before, and it seemed to me particularly important for HIV-positive moms. We kind of had guessed that, of course, as you would, anybody would think this, is better family routines in a family and better parental monitoring, as long as it's done from a point of caring and not punitive parental monitoring, that you would find better child outcomes. But I also wondered about how stable did the family routines have to be? Because this was a longitudinal study, and most of these studies that have been done are cross-sectional. So in addition to just high and low levels of routines across time, I wanted to know if the routines were fluctuating a lot. Moms were doing really well, good family routines, and then they're fatigued and they can't do them. And then they're not for periods of time, or they're hospitalized and they can't. And so the child's kind of bouncing around with the family routines. How important was that? So I went to my statistician and said, find a way to do this. I don't know how to do it. So he did, which is why I thanked him at the beginning of the study, the talk. So we did a stability analysis using family routines and stability of parental monitoring as covariates. And initially we found that adolescents in households with greater variability in parental monitoring had higher levels of depression and conduct disorder, and lower levels of self-concept on the intellectual and happiness scales. But we only found parental monitoring findings, which I was a little surprised at. And we talked about that, the stability of family routines failing to yield significant results. And Bill suggested that it was possible that covariates effect could vary by age. So he added an interaction term into the model. And he was correct. The trajectory for those where family routines are highly unstable exhibit increasing conduct disorder behavior over time. And when family routines are highly unstable, there were higher scores on the self-concept scales for popularity and physical appearance. So initially, you may think, well, that's in the unexpected direction. However, we would need to do more research in this study to find out if my plausible explanation for this is correct, which we haven't had time to do yet. But I assume this is because when family routines are highly unstable, the adolescents may be spending a lot more time with peers and getting a sense of self-worth in terms of their popularity and physical appearance from peers. But we're not sure about that yet. We don't have any data to directly support that. Again, this is a stability projected trajectory for conduct disorder behaviors, and you can see that for unstable family routines over time, conduct behaviors are increasing as the kids developmentally age. And with stable family routines, they're staying stable. They're actually decreasing a little. They have some at a young age and then decrease slightly. So in summary, both family routines and parental monitoring have a very powerful impact on children affected by maternal HIV, and maternal level of illness was associated with family routines and parental monitoring longitudinally, so these families are struggling with their parenting skills being affected by their illness. And the implications for this, I think there are strong implications for parenting interventions for moms with HIV, and that's one of the next stages that we're working on. Because any of you who are behavioral psychology people or have done parent training before, it's very hard to train some parent training skills to parents. But family routines is actually one of, if I had to rank them, one of the easier skills to train parents. And just having some family routines regularly on a continuous basis in a family to improve child security could really make an impact in terms of being a protective factor for these adolescents. So I think the take-home message from this talk is that we really need to be integrating those kind of skills into parenting programs for HIV-positive moms who are already dealing with their physical health problems, healthcare access issues, usually often poverty in the neighborhoods that they live in, et cetera, and can really use skill training like that. Thank you. I have time for questions, according to Chris. Any questions? We assessed, it's actually quite a long scale, and it has all sorts of family activities and how often they occur, so you can kind of weight the activities if you want to. So a lot of them revolve around routines during the day. You know, do you eat breakfast together? Do you have time at the end of the day after the child comes home from school on a regular basis, reading, activities that they do together, celebration of birthdays, etc., because some family routines are not weekly. They're, you know, on occasional celebration of holidays, those kind of issues. One of the things it might be interesting to look at is if any of the particular family routines are more important than others, but we haven't broken it down to that level yet.
Right, because I know there are scales that look at daily routines. Mm-hmm.
Right, and a lot of them include, do you go to church together, or do you have sports activities together? Yeah.
So your association with parental health and routines, was that more through the
kids? We haven't looked at that directly. I would think that it was, because the way the moms, at least we've been following this cohort for 10 years, and we've done a number of studies on them, and the fatigue levels and reactions to when they have to switch medications, and they have sometimes symptomatic reactions to the new medications, it usually affects the daily routines the most. Any other questions? Thank you.